This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
It is essential that as believers, we stand firm for our faith. And Dr. Wyatt will declare that this too is for our instruction.
Thank you, Dennis. Sharon's reading is from the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I want to spend this time on how our scriptures, all of them, are for our instruction. It is so important. I do hope you'll stay with us.
I want you to know, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same supernatural food, and all drank the same supernatural drink. For they drank from the supernatural rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, "The people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to dance." We must not indulge in immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put the Lord to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as a warning, but they were written down for our instruction, upon whom the end of the ages has come.
Thank you, Sharon, once again. What Sharon has read for us is Paul's concluding defense of his message and position as an apostle in their midst. He states that the Greek notion of gnosis, or knowledge, is ultimately very limited and empty, for our lives as Christians must be grounded in love. Also, that his failure to insist on material support does not diminish his status as an apostle. For as Paul will say, clearly with tongue in cheek, he would rather die than have anyone deprive him of his ground of boasting. For to him, the necessity has been laid on him. For woe be it unto me if I preach not the gospel. His reward is doing this of his own free will, nor is his teaching on avoiding food, actually meat sold in the marketplace, inconsistent. For he has become all things to all men, that he might by all means save some. Those under the law and those outside the law, the weak as well as the strong. He does this all, everything, for the sake of the gospel, taking care that the use of one's liberty in Christ not become a stumbling block to the weak, thus participating in the destruction of one for whom Christ has died. Now Paul, with deft arguments, will illustrate the grave danger in those who willingly attend the cultic or trade celebrations in the pagan temples. He now will use the Old Testament to strengthen his arguments. Remember that there was as yet no New Testament. We all are to run each of our races as if committed to winning. If committed to win, then one must exercise self-control in all things, lest one, as would the ancient runners, find themselves disqualified. It seems some were convinced that they were above failing or ever losing their place in Christ. I once knew a minister who was so ingrained with his own theology of once saved, always saved, as he put it, that he was free to pursue any fleshly desires. Paul would have wanted him, as he did those in Corinth, not to miss the importance of God's demands for our lives. Paul does not want anyone ignorant of this truth. We can be disqualified. As believers, we do not exist in a vacuum, but we are inheritors of what God has done in the past. As God's people, we are also part of the Israel of God, His new people, so to speak, unique, spiritual, and one people, and also the fulfillment of the promises to what Paul calls our forefathers. Paul will carefully now use allusions to ancient Israel's own failing, their propensity to fall into idolatry, and their failing to obtain their expected prize. He will here use what was once a popular form of exposition, using type, or typology, as I heard it often called, a recognized rabbinical form of teaching that was often used by the early church fathers and can still be heard in various forms in many pulpits. Such use of analogies or types are illustrative examples by which we can and should learn. Using this form, ancient Israel, Paul says, has as well their own baptism as they passed through the Red Sea and cloud. And the Lord went before Israel to lead and guide them, and also went behind to separate them from their enemies. Just as now the Holy Spirit is the Lord's ever-guiding and protective presence with Christians. And as well, all of Israel ate the same spiritual food and drank of the same spiritual drink. It was food and water given supernaturally, and which divinely sustained them in the wilderness. It is not that what they partook of somehow also conveyed upon them the Spirit. What Paul would illustrate is that Israel, as our spiritual forefathers, had their own analogy to baptism and also the Lord's Supper. It was a type prefiguring what we have in Christ. Paul will go so far as to expound further that as the Israelites experienced water from the rock and manna from heaven, all of this revealed the very nature of Christ. As they partook of the living water of the rock and the bread of heaven, and yet still ancient Israel would turn their back on what God had done for them, as they indulged so easily in the worst kinds of idolatry. God had showered upon them such blessings, such supernatural gifts, yet they quickly and utterly could forget God, and often begin a headlong slide into depravity. We are to see that God had continually supplied them with His own sacraments. Paul has drawn upon a common historical tradition, this continual supply of water. According to rabbinical tradition, was that of Miriam's well, which was shaped like a rock, which followed the Israelites in the desert, always a miraculous source of water. Paul's interest, of course, is not in such traditions, but on the whole idea of the water as the source, the rock, and he identifies this rock as Christ, as the God of Israel is the rock, whose ways are just and perfect. And as the people then rejected the rock for the fleeting joys and passions of idols, so too are those in Corinth in danger of repeating the very same folly. For gathering and feasting in pagan temples before other idols will have the very same results. As God gave spiritual food in the wilderness, as ancient Israel was nourished in their wanderings by Christ Himself, so too the Corinthians, by their casual and compromising attitude, are following in Israel's footsteps. Paul's warning is emphatic as Israel would fail and the entire generation would be scattered in the desert, never to see the promises of God. Those in Corinth are in their present accommodation to idolatry, flirting with a similar consequence. Even though all had experienced a kind of baptism and Lord's Supper, all but two would experience God's judgment, and in Paul's words, failed to gain the prize. God did not tolerate Israel's idolatry, and thus it is unlikely, and we deceive ourselves if we think God will tolerate our iniquity and idolatry, or that we can simply indulge our fancies, our self-indulgences, and cravings without it harming our lives in Him. These events of the past are all object lessons, warnings, if you will. Paul does not want what happened to ancient Israel repeated in the lives of the Corinthian Christians. And as these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, so it is an example for us as well, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. Yes, we are at least that much closer to the fulfillment than certainly were the Corinthians. As Christ gave Israel their spiritual drink and nourishment, He has done so for each of us. Being so nourished, being baptized in the sea and cloud, eating of the heavenly bread of heaven, did not inoculate the 12 tribes, did not assure them of not incurring God's wrath. Their baptism and spiritual bread did not alone enable them to stand firm and unfailing in their faith. So this too must remain true. Israel, as privileged, as gifted, and blessed of God as they were, still they lusted after the wrong things, set their hearts on evil. Paul will then carefully select events from the desert sojourn of Israel to reflect what is going on in Corinth, the problem of which is not simply eating of that meat sold in the marketplaces of Corinth, but of idolatry, pure and simple. Israel had made of themselves an idol of gold, and then they sat and ate in the presence of the golden calf, just as had many of the Corinthians. They ate at cultic meals before the idols, and would then rise up not to simply dance, but the Greek implies far more, to revel, a carrying on, running wild, losing control. And Paul sees this involving even sexual immorality. Which leads Paul to his second example, referring once more to eating in the presence of idols, this time before the Baal of Peor. Both of these events belong together. Both involve cultic meals eaten before idols, and in each case resulting in dire and deadly consequences. Nor dare we put Christ to the test. Here is an interesting insertion by Paul. For he now refers to the incident of the fiery serpents who struck ancient Israel for complaining about having to eat of nothing but the heavenly manna. Have the Corinthian Christians insisted upon their right to attend these pagan feasts? Are they in danger of arousing the Lord's jealousy? Do they presume to be stronger in faith than the Lord? Would they, in such presumptive acts, put Christ to the test? For Paul is saying that as Israel put the Lord to the test, so are all those who would join at the Lord's table and then presume that they then can eat at tables spread before the demonic and it have no effect. Then above all else, do they grumble at what the Word of God demands, what is required for the fulfillment of His promise, or the obligations that arise out of His grace and mercy? When Israel failed, only Joshua and Caleb, of all of those of their generation, would enter the promised land. All others would fall in the wilderness, scattered in the desert. They were all condemned to die amid their wanderings. The Corinthians are as guilty of grumbling, only it is against Paul. Still, the danger is as acute. All of this, Paul warns, is an example for us, written down as more than a mere lesson. But a warning. The resurrection of Jesus marks the turning of a great page. It is now a new age. Paul contends that the entire Old Testament pointed towards its consolation, its ultimate fulfillment in Christ Jesus. What Paul and all those early apostles and teachers found in the images, narratives, events, and prophecies of the Old Testament was Jesus Christ. It is Christ that is the prime actor and the final goal of all of ancient Scripture. He is the fulfillment of the ages. Paul will continue admonishing them to stand firm and not to fall, and that we will never be tempted beyond what we are able to withstand. In other words, we will never face what we cannot bear. Yet Paul says we cannot be partakers of, be part of Christ, and then compromise with the demonic. However, this is not a call to hide, to separate from what is ungodly, but we are to engage the world. We have already surrendered too much of our society's activities, given away too much to the secular and ungodly forces, allowed them to dictate what is art, entertainment, music, what is to be popular. What we are then to do is to encourage the true artist, good music, and edifying entertainment. Honor those who would insist on doing what is honorable, honest, and right, who give thanks to God for their talents and abilities. We should resist and be unafraid of rejecting and judging as unfit the aberrations in public art and entertainment, the new flavors of the grotesque or ugly. If the Christian display of the cross is outlawed, give voice to your displeasure. If they insist on the display of evil, let your words be known. When political powers remove God in trust from coins, or any reference to God in their political forums, then know who they are, and know that God is not pleased. He will in time sweep away their refuge of lies. We are to be the faithful ones, holding always firm, so that when we meet Him, we shall not be ashamed. For in it all has not everything been for our instruction. O my Lord, ever give us the strength to ever be faithful to your word. Despite the lion's roar, we will with boldness proclaim the truth, and with that proclaim what is true beauty, joy, and peace, for it is only available in Him. And that your kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. For it is all in your hands, and it is for your glory and for your name always. Amen and amen.
We indeed need to stand firm in our faith. Too much has already been conceded to the forces of secularism and unbelief. Yet, is this not exactly what our Lord told us it would be? So to help you understand this, Thomas is offering two companion books on this very subject, Global Warning and the World's Hope. Here is our Lord's warning to the world and what should be our response. Both of these books can be yours just for the asking, Global Warning and the World's Hope. They are yours at no charge. So many of you have written to tell us that you have the wings of healing in your prayers. We so wish to thank all of you who support this ministry any way you can. We believe you are an important part of this work, and your prayers and gracious support is much needed to keep this ministry on your local radio station. With all that is happening in this world today, the Word of God is what will bring us through. It is the Word that will strengthen and hold us up in good times and bad. Do not let these challenging times keep you from doing what you can for the gospel. Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. One will, as they delve deeper in God's Word, become astonished at how much is there. And it can provide such guidance, wisdom, and comfort. There is nothing like it, and it remains so vital and has for nearly 3,000 years. as it has done for those like Margaret of Appleton, Wisconsin, who writes, "Dr. Wyatt, the scriptures and comments that you provided in your last letter were so right on for me and was of so much help. Thank you, Margaret. That is why we are here. And it is so encouraging to know just how the Spirit uses it all." Dennis will provide our addresses once more, all to encourage you to write. Now Kyle sings one of Sharon's inspired hymns, "In a Distant Place." So until next week, know that our Lord is there.
Alone with God in a distant place, seeking answers to win life's race. My prayers are for Him alone to hear, though He's in heaven, He's always near. In that distant place, I love to be. I feel my God so close to me. I hear His voice so gently say, "All is well, my child, all is well today." Heaven, He's always near. In that distant place I love to be, I feel my God so close to me. I hear His voice so gently say, "All is well, my child, all is well today." My mind and cares release. Alone am I in that distant place, full of His amazing grace. I reach out the angel's nod and let me touch the face of God.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write, and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and Dr. Wyatt this week is offering the companion studies Global Warning and the World's Hope. Here is our Lord's warnings to our world, and what is a result of the world's only hope? These two timely studies can be yours at no charge.
Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at the same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.